First, let us consider his circumstances. Because a man's sin may be heightened by his position, or on the other hand, the condition in which he is placed may suggest some alleviating considerations which in all fairness should be remembered. Now with regard to Manasseh, we find that he was the child of an eminently godly father, the son of a king who, with all his mistakes, was sound in heart toward God. Hezekiah wrought that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. He was a man mighty in prayer and found deliverance thereby in the hour of great peril through the invasion of Sennacherib, a man whose life was so precious in the sight of the Lord that in answer to his cries, he gave him a new lease of life and spared him yet another 15 years. It is a great thing for a young person to have a godly father to train his tender mind, and even though such a parent should be early taken away, yet the privilege is an eminent one. As for Manasseh's mother, we cannot say with certainty that she was a godly woman. But let us hope that as her name was Hephzibah, which means my delight is in her, she too was delightful for grace and piety. Isaiah seems to have taken her name and to have applied it to the church. Thou shalt be called Hephzibah, for the Lord delighteth in thee. And we may suppose that he would hardly have done so unless there had been some sweet associations therewith. Let us trust that Queen Hephzibah was indeed God's delight. And if so, Manasseh had the special favor of having two parents who would train him up in the way he should go. Such a happy start in life renders his after sin the more heinous. But in all truthfulness, we have to mention next that he was a child born to his father in his later years, after his life had been lengthened by special license from above. He was the child of his parents' desire, an heir born after the father had expected to die childless, and therefore it is not at all unlikely that he was a spoiled child. It is very possible that, being highly prized, he was also greatly indulged, and if so, he was in special danger. Those children who are doted upon by their parents are greatly to be pitied, for they are apt to be allowed to have their own way. And a youth's own way is sure to be a wrong one. Fathers, in such cases, were apt to play the part of Eli, of whom we read that his sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. It was no wonder that Adonijah disturbed the dying moments of David when we read that his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, "Why hast thou done so?" Nor need we marvel that Absalom almost broke his father's heart, if this was the manner of his bringing up. Even though at 12 years of age Manasseh could not have fully developed his character, yet it may have been warped by those early days of admiration and indulgence. Parents, take note of this, and you petted children, do the same. Recollect that Manasseh lost his father at 12 years of age. I do not know a greater trial for a family than for the head of the house to be taken away while the children are young. Just when the guiding, encouraging, and restraining power of the father is wanted, it is mournful to see it removed. How mysterious it seems to us when a large family loses the wise guide of the household at the very time when his influence is most needed by the upgrowing boys and girls. Too often in such a case, the young people have broken away from all restraint, and the loss of their father has been the loss of everything. Manasseh, the prince who seemed born under favorable circumstances for the production of a gracious character, was much to be pitied when the good king, his father, was called away, and his tender son was left alone amid flatterers and idolaters. Remember, too, that Manasseh was placed in a giddy position as a child, for he mounted the throne at 12 years of age. A child upon a throne is a child out of its natural place. Such high and hard places are not for boys. Now and then, such a child turns out to be a Josiah, the very delight of mankind. But the probabilities are very much against its being so. Woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child. It is ill for a child to sway a scepter, but it is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. A fierce fire of temptation blazes around a youthful throne. Sycophants and flatterers are sure to surround a boy's prince, pandering to his worst desires and arousing that part of his nature which most needs to be repressed. No doubt there were good people whom Hezekiah had gathered in his courts, but then they could not flatter so well as the evil party which had been repressed for a while but still remained strong in the land. Though Hezekiah had set up the worship of God everywhere and had done his best to root out idolatry, yet the idolatrous party was far from being extinct, and the common people were sadly careless and irreligious. Isaiah, in his opening chapter, describes the condition of the land by saying, "Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." The nation was not steadfast like King Hezekiah. It worshipped Jehovah when compelled by royal authority, but it was ready enough to turn aside to its idols. The idolatrous party, which I might liken to the papists, and the people who worshipped on the high places, who were the ritualistic party of the day, came around the young king, fawning, flattering, and cajoling. By pleasing the taste of the boy king and indulging his vices, they undermined in his esteem the orthodox worshipers of God, whom I may call the evangelical school. He yielded himself up readily to their influence, and when he was old enough, became the head of the idolatrous party, throwing his whole soul into it, and with all the might of his nature and the force of his authority, laboring to stamp out the pure worship of the Most High God and to set up those debasing idolatries which his father Hezekiah had so much abhorred. Look at him then, as a mere child, placed in a condition of great danger, led astray at first and afterwards becoming a ringleader in iniquity. If I should address any young person who finds himself too early for his good, set free from the restraint of parents and placed in a position of considerable power and influence over others, I pray him to flee to the Lord for help, or his ruin will be certain. The Lord can teach the young men wisdom, the babes knowledge and discretion. Look to your Bible, the mercy seat, and your God, or you will make shipwreck of the life which God has entrusted to you. There are responsibilities upon you too heavy for you to carry alone, because your burdens are heavier. Seek for yourself more power from on high. Because your restraints are fewer, put yourself under the restraints of divine love. The youth who is so much trusted by providence as to be left alone without a guardian, and to have power confided to him which usually needs the wisdom of age, ought to be the more careful and the more guarded, and cry the more earnestly to God that he may have grace given to him, lest of him it should be said, as it was said of Manasseh, he did evil in the sight of the Lord. These are some of the circumstances of Manasseh's life.